If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fans.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not... No, that's not...
Wait. That's true, you do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, host of the show, man. Stairs on the sauce with the show, man. Till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better more than. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cute as can be, you can watch on YouTube if you want for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Welcome on in to the Tobin and Leroy Show. It is a very, very special edition. Not only because the Miami Hurricanes have a very important game today, but also because we got our boy Josh Appel back in the booth.
Hey!
Josh Appel, new dad in the building. How's your dad's strength growing, huh?
I think my dad's strength has gone up a little bit, but who really knows? You might hear him wailing in the background at some point during the show today.
That's fair, man. Do whatever you need to do.
He's just excited for the Canes.
That's it, man. That is it. Actually, you know what? This is interesting. Appel, I'm going to pass this responsibility on to you. When my son was born, the Miami Heat and Panthers had their historic eighth seed to championship run. And following that, Panthers, he's never seen the Panthers not win a championship at this point.
Mm.
So I'm going to go ahead and bestow all the good luck that newborns bring and hope that the Canes could get some of this action here.
Listen, I'm not saying you're going to know who to blame, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a chilly December 31st out there. It's probably about like 50 degrees right now. I'll give you a better weather report later on. But luckily for those who will be watching the Cotton Bowl tonight, that won't affect us. Whatever the weather is won't affect us, right? Jerry keeps it closed. Am I right?
Yes.
Or okay, cool. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to make sure, you know, with these South Floridians, it seems like our Achilles heel happens to be that weather, but we won't have to deal with that, luckily. There is a lot of other things we will need to be dealing with, and we will break that down in depth today. We're going to be giving you some of our best Hurricanes-related segments, as well as some games. We got some Cotton Bowl trivia. You know, it can't be a Frog Boy led show without a game. So we got some Cotton Bowl trivia. And like I said, we will be breaking down the Ohio State versus Miami Hurricanes Cotton Bowl. And then that will continue on this station. Appel, you're doing 1 hour after this show with Hawk and Crowder?
If I am, that's news to me.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and relieve you of that duty. Don't even worry about it, dude. But there will be 1 hour of Hawk and Crowder after us, and a comprehensive 4-hour pregame kicks off right here.
Four and a half.
At 3 p.m. 4.5 hours.
Wow.
That's crazy. Are they paying for that little extra half hour?
I mean, the kickoff is 7:30.
That's fair. That's fair. Absolutely.
And the kick, you know, pregame begins at 3, so I'm, you know. I'm not a math major, but I can add and subtract. That's four.
Did you carry the one though?
That's 4.5 hours.
I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it for now. But let's go ahead and get into some headlines. There are some other things going on in the South Florida sports scene, but you know, not too many people are going to be paying attention to it. But we right here on 560 and 104.3 WQAM. Would be remiss if we didn't mention our lovely, lovely Florida Panthers. Overtime loss for them yesterday. Vlad, you were producing that game. How'd it go?
They choked.
Oh, I don't like that.
They had a 2-0 lead, 4 minutes left, and then right after the second goal, Montreal scored. Okay, 2-1. And then The guy scored the guy who scored the game winning goal actually scored the game time goal.
So, Suzuki.
Yeah.
Suzuki.
Now
listen, this I'm not a guy who does the let's blame the referees stuff. So listen, I'm not gonna blame the referees here.
However, okay?
seems like
however, I'm not going to do that.
However,
on the front end.
All right.
We got to be calling pick plays, all right, on that first goal by the Canadiens after the Panthers went up 2-0. We got to call interference there on Montreal. It created all the space for Cole Caulfield, who then made Atulos Turanen look not so great in scoring that first Montreal goal. But then the Panthers, as Vlad said, just a comedy of errors on the tying goal. Tarasov, who was playing for Bob last night, had a great game until literally the last 5 minutes, misplayed a puck behind the net. He ended up out of position. Ekblad couldn't manage the puck back there either because of the miscommunication. And then before you know it, Suzuki's putting one past Daniil Tarasov, and the Panthers lose in overtime. But
they got a point.
David Dvorak of Hockey News this morning.
All right.
Big report.
Is somebody coming back?
The captain.
Oh!
Alexander Barkov.
Barky.
Has begun skating.
I love that.
Whoa. Already?
A light skate. But he's skating.
But he's skating before the turn of the year.
Yes.
That's good.
That's good. Cyborg.
Now, Vlad, you've been producing games. Josh, you are a hockey, not extraordinaire, but savant, if you will. So I know you pay close attention. For the casual fan, as I can admit that I am, the Florida Panthers, from what you've been hearing from the outside, this hasn't been the best season, fatigue, injury. But I look at their record at a 21-15, and I deem that as, I understand they're fourth in the Atlantic, but not too bad. The way that everyone's panicking, people are telling me, and obviously there's a bunch of other teams who are praying on their downfall. How should I feel about this season thus far, Josh?
You should feel good about the position they're in right now. Because before the season, knowing that they'd be without Matthew Tkachuk for the first part of the year, after Alexander Barkov got hurt on the first day of training camp, then early in the season, Dmitry Kulikov goes down for a while. They've lost some real key pieces, but obviously Barkov and Tkachuk are the headliners. And all you wanted to see from the Panthers from the start of the regular season until Tkachuk got back was just stay in it. And at one point, the Panthers were at the bottom of the Atlantic Division. Now, they're 4 points back of first place with a game in hand. They're in a playoff spot at the start of the new year, going into the Winter Classic on Friday. Matthew Tkachuk's return is imminent. They are in a really good spot. Brad Marchand is playing at an incredible level right now. Sam Bennett is on a tear. He's tied a career-long point streak. Seems like Bob is starting to get back to form as well. If I was a team in first place in either the Metro or the Atlantic, and I see the Florida Panthers in one of those two wild card spots, that is literally the last team I would ever want to face in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Vlad, are you getting the same pulse? Are you getting the same pulse from the team?
No, I mean, once they get healthy. I mean, dude, 3 years, that's a long-ass run. Three long Stanley Cup run. You just want them to be healthy and get into the postseason. And then you have more confidence in them because you know of their past history in the postseason. 82-game regular season is a grind, and then you got the Olympics, and then you have the Winter Classic. Like, yeah, I can understand that. That's why I respect what Paul Maurice did before the season when he gave the guys a week off. Before he allowed the vets to get on the ice, he just gave them, even though like training camp was happening, he gave them a week off. He's like, nah, you guys, you play too much. We'll let the young guys, you know, practice and everything. You guys have a week off. And yeah, well, before you know it, that'll happen here. Before you know it, we're already December 31st. You understand? So
yeah.
Then they go, they play the Winter Classic. And then after Winter Classic, you got the Olympics, which. It seems like 75%, like we said, 75% of the Florida Panthers will be playing in the Winter Olympics.
That's crazy.
And here's the thing. The only reason why Bob is not playing, it's because Russia doesn't have a team.
Yeah.
So if Russia had a team, Bob would be playing. So all the major guys from the Panthers would be playing in for their host country. For their
You're going to have two Panthers on Team USA, it looks like, in Matthew Tkachuk and Seth Jones. There's some scuttlebutt that he's going to be on the team. Michael Russo of The Athletic, who's really? Very plugged in with Bill Guerin, who is the GM of the Wild and also the GM of Team USA. He's very plugged in there, and he's projecting Seth Jones to also be on Team USA. You're going to have
three.
Reinhardt and Sam Bennett and Brad Marchand on Team Canada. You're going to have Gustav Forsling on Sweden. You're going to have probably Etu and Anton Lundell and Nico Mikkola on Finland. Uvis Balinskis is playing in the Olympics as well for Latvia. I mean, they're going to be so well represented come February. Can these guys just get a break?
Honestly. I was going to say, I'm canceling it. That's it.
I'm literally, we're going to have to rely. Thank God Bob is not going to play in the Olympics.
Yeah,
that, my God. That, you know, thank God, because those guys are going to be tired coming back.
I see with the merch. I know I've heard you and Solana talk about how you've been with the Winter Classic merch. And we mentioned the Winter Classic. You guys saw the photo that came out recently?
Oh, yeah.
This I saw this initially, and at first I didn't have any understanding as to how hockey would look on a baseball diamond. And it's pretty sweet,
right?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I gotta admit, this is definitely something that is like an event. This is an event. At first it was like, you know, I don't understand it, so I can't really gauge my interest, but this is pretty cool.
I got one problem.
Uh-oh. What's the problem?
I really want pink on the ice.
Oh, wait. Are you saying, do I really want pink on the ice?
Yeah, like, or look in the picture right now. Yeah, like, blue side is dope. The pink side?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Come on. It's that's Vice. Like, you know, the Vice thing. The Vice. You're not a fan of the Vice thing?
We're not, but this ain't the Heat. This is the Panthers.
Oh, everyone's Vice, baby.
I don't like
a,
that.
It's more of a mindset. It's a mindset.
I don't want to be Vice. That's what Vice is. I don't want to meet up with Vice.
I mean, it's like the logo of... It's just the colors they chose, the league. I think the setup looks really awesome.
No, setup is beautiful. I just think winter, I don't think of pink in winter.
We're going to get incredible weather on Friday night.
All right. Yeah.
And there was obviously a lot of the northern hockey fans and fans of the teams up there. Oh, well, this is not a Winter Classic. How are they going to do this in Miami? Listen, if the forecast is correct, this will be the third warmest Winter Classic or outdoor game in league history. There will have been two games warmer in LA and in Denver that were played outdoor.
Denver?
Yeah.
In what month?
At Coors Field. I'm not sure. Probably in like February when they were doing stadium series. I don't think they did a Winter Classic there, but I believe it was later on in the new year when they did that. But the temperatures are expected to be like 61, 62 degrees on Friday. And the game in L.A. was like 65 degrees, and I think Coors Field, the game there, was like 63 or 64. So it's not even going to be the warmest outdoor game in league history, and it's going to be beautiful. They're going to have the roof open, the panels open. It is going to be an awesome night.
You're going to be there, Josh? I know you got something preoccupying you. I'm not
so I know, but the company that I do NFL games for, we also do the NHL, and I will be doing our ringside interviews on
Wow, that's dope,
but man. Obviously listen to Doug Plagans and Billy Lindsay on the flagship right here on WQAM. But if you're listening and you're not in South Florida, you can find us on one of your local affiliates outside of beautiful South Florida.
Look at that, Appel. Look at that, huh?
Time of this our guy, life.
I don't care what they say.
Get there
you,
early,
Appel. You're out here doing it.
We got to get there early.
Oh, yeah. No, trust
me. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm doing the show with Solana on Friday from 2 to 4, 2 to 5. Not sure yet.
Oh, and then you driving
so,
from there?
I will be there pretty much all day.
You're going to be already at Lone Depot?
Okay, cool.
Smart.
Because right after doing the show with you, I'm out. Friday, I'm out. Like, I'm going straight to the Lone Depot. Because from what I've heard, reading some of the stuff, it's going to be traffic galore.
Dang, I didn't realize I wanted to go to this so bad until I saw it.
Yeah, no blocky from Winter Classic. You're right, Mr. 799 Jr. No blocky from Winter Classic would be great. No blocky? Can you imagine a Canadian? No blocky? What is this no blocky?
What does that even mean?
Eh? Eh?
What does this mean, eh?
You know? What is this no blocky, you know?
I want to give us credit because I know it's a very, very Canes heavy day. But hey, man, one segment down, baby, and we covered Panthers hockey.
We led with the Panthers on the day the Canes are playing their biggest game in 20
years.
Pretty solid.
We're gonna take a break here. When we come back, we will go over the tail of the tape, players to watch. The basics. You've been under a rock for the past couple months. This is what you need to watch for tonight's Cotton Bowl. We got that and much more on the Tobin and Leroy Show. Welcome on back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. Got Josh Chappelle in today. Got Vlad holding things down on the production board. And today we got ourselves a big one, ladies and gentlemen. We got ourselves a shot at revenge. And please, to all those Leroys out there who are going to remind me that no one on this roster was alive when this last happened, you got to understand, these rivalries, they pass on down.
Dude, was anybody alive when Babe Ruth was alive?
No one that I know,
so,
personally.
I wasn't alive. But the Red Sox is my, you know, I hate them.
Hate them. Those are the odds.
And they hate us. It is what it is. Once you listen, that's what I was trying to explain to Leroy, Josh. There are just things. Once you make a decision, that's it. You're part of the family, or you're part of this rivalry forever. So, if you decide to join the University of Miami, you must know you have to hate Florida State, you have to hate Florida, you have to hate Notre Dame, and you're gonna hate Ohio State. That's it. It's the minute you sign that, they're just givens in life that you've accepted.
Is the hate, though, a little misdirect? Is the hate more for Terry Porter, who threw the flag, and like Ohio State just catches the shrapnel of that and they're included in it?
No, I didn't like Ohio State from then. I didn't like the whole, I respect Maurice Claret now, but I didn't like the whole Maurice Claret thing when he was a freshman. And who was the guy? Was it Trussell?
Jim Trussell.
Trussell in his little tight mini vest, red vest. I didn't like it. I didn't like the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Chris Gamble. No, I didn't like the whole thing. I didn't like that team. And then they were celebrating as if they were the better team. Man, get out of here.
Craig Krenzel.
Craig Krenzel. Ugh. Disgusting.
Isn't it funny to think back about what Maurice Claret got in trouble for back then with the tattoos and now...
Oh, and the jerseys and the NIL. Josh, I tell you, there's a lot of former players who are looking at things now and wonder, and this is where I got in trouble for?
Like Reggie Bush got his Heisman taken away.
Right.
Heisman taken away, bro.
Right. A lot of guys are looking like, so the stuff that they said was illegal is now legal, and I got punished for it?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of cases like that. You know, it's a lot with the legalization of various things. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah.
But look, I think there's a point to that. Yes, of course, a majority of the hate goes towards
Terry
Porter.
It definitely goes to Terry Porter. But
I mean, Ohio State has a punchable face. Am I right, though?
They have our title.
For sure. They totally owe us that. And they're not even being modest about it. You know, and they're just an annoying people. You know, the Ohio State. And mind you, it's coming from the guy who calls himself the U. But you get it. You know, the Ohio State University, as if they invented that. You know, they just got a punchable.
Oh, that's right. Ryan they Day, did take the punchable. D from the U. They did. Yeah, they were just Ohio State. Then all of a sudden, the Ohio State.
The Ohio State.
If you don't.
And then South Florida is saddled with Ted Ginn Jr. and his family.
Oh, my God. I talked to Ted Ginn Jr.'s family. He comes from a great family. Damn. That's why we drafted him. If you don't get, yo, there's a lot if you don't get this BS out my face.
I'm not going to lie. I love Ted Ginn, though. I don't know why I love
him. Yeah, he had a nice little career.
You know,
he had a good rookie year.
Drafted so high, but a couple punt returns for touchdowns. When was the last time we've been
that Jets game?
I mean, come on. He won it by himself.
He did.
Today, we have a big matchup against two teams that are vying for a shot at the national championship. We know from the Miami Hurricane side, we've been watching it, Nino Jesus himself, Malachi Toney. We know we have Carson Beck commanding things back there. We know that a majority of our strengths are in the trenches. Reuben Bain, Maui Noah, Akeem Mesidor. But now, for someone who may not be paying attention to Ohio State, the only thing you've been hearing about is probably Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs. Is there something else that I should be watching for? Like, oh, watch out for that guy. Watch out for that guy. We don't want this to happen. As someone who's only solely focused on the Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah, they're linebackers. Ohio State got some great linebackers.
See, I didn't know that.
It's a Matt Patricia called defense. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I did not know that. He's their
defensive play caller.
And the pencil guy?
The pencil guy.
I think he might be on the Olo. The Olo Ozempic. He looks good these days.
Whoa, is he?
He looks good.
Let me see this guy.
And so does their defense. Their defense is excellent. And I don't know if you guys caught any of the Big Ten title game
between
them and Indiana. Like, if Miami is going to win this game tonight, it has to be a game that resembles
the Indiana game.
That game at A&M and what we saw from Indiana and Ohio State. I think if you're a Canes fan, you have to be encouraged and you have to be thrilled with what you saw from that Canes defense at A&M. It's not just that they had that performance. It's that they went to College Station in that atmosphere and performed that way. Now, I think Julian Sain is a bit better than Marcel Reed. I think they're skill guys at Ohio State, not really a hot take. But they've got two receivers better than the best one that we saw from Texas A&M in Carnell Tate, as well as you mentioned Jeremiah Smith. It's not the Bo Jackson, but Bo Jackson, the running back, he's also excellent. And, of course, Caleb Downs and that Ohio State defense. It's got to be low scoring. The Canes have to protect the football. And I think that playing this game indoors, not in the cold, at Jerry World, I think that bodes well for the Canes offense. You know, this, we've talked all year about how in the trenches, this Canes team physically is as good as anybody in the country. And obviously, when it comes down to their biggest game since the first round of the playoffs, but their biggest game in 20 years.
Are we going to be saying that
now
every
time? Now we get to see that put to a real test.
Josh, are we going to be saying that every time they play?
What?
This is the biggest game since.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is.
Yeah, for the Miami. This is the biggest game. So this is the biggest game since 11 days ago.
Yeah. There you go. You get it. And this will be the biggest game until next week.
Until January 9th. Come on, man.
Like, that's what happens, though, when you've been out of relevancy since the Fiesta Bowl.
This is the next game. That's all I look at it. This is the next game. The last game was really the biggest game in 20 years because they had to win a playoff game. They had to. Now you're going against, and as much as I hate them, I don't want to say, well, you know what, as much as I dislike them, got to give them credit. They are the defending national champions, and they have a tremendous amount of NFL talent that will be on display. But Marcos and Josh, I feel that having, like you said, having not played in a month, you've only played one game in a month. Like, it's really a month. They play Thanksgiving weekend. The next time they're playing is New Year's Eve. That's a gap of not having any type of you could scrimmage, but you're not going there. You're going to get your own teammates, so you're not really going to go that hard or, you know, with that much of intensity because you don't want to hurt yourself or hurt your teammates. So I want to see if they start off slow. If Miami jumps on Ohio State early, I think it could cause them a lot of tension, and we could see some mistakes from Sain.
Now, we have seen, and we brought Carson Beck over because of his ability to play in the big game. He didn't win us the game in College Station, but he did a good job of not losing us the game. I think we need a little bit more from him, but which Carson Beck do you think we're going to see today? Are we going to see the guy who throws five, supposed to be six interceptions, you know, against an ACC school, or is this going to be the guy that led Georgia to national titles? I think that's going to be the biggest difference in the offense.
There's no bad weather.
Look at that.
There's no wind. You're playing in a dome. You're playing in 70 degrees, comfortable conditions. You know.
I think though that A&M game was such a good test for him. I know the numbers are not flashy. 14 of 20, 103 yards and had the one touchdown. Longest completion was 20 yards, but his rating was just under 130. And he played he managed the game exactly how they needed to at College Station. And that was coming off of the game at Pitt, where he was phenomenal. I mean, the last two games, really the last three games, NC State, Virginia Tech, and Pitt, to close out the regular season, he was excellent, right? I mean, he had, what, 10 touchdowns and one interception the final three regular season games before that game against A&M. I know that we kind of have the memories of SMU and the memories of Louisville kind of sticking in our head, but it's been a while since then. And since that SMU game, he's only turned the ball over one time. I know that Cuse isn't the best defense, but again, we're talking about a guy who, in their two losses, turned it over six times with interceptions. The guy, as you said, Marcos, is battle-tested, having made deep runs with Georgia. He's dealt with that kind of pressure before. And now, in a way, not only does all of the experience he's had before help, but I feel like the Canes, in a way, of course they want to win, and there are no moral victories here, but the Canes are playing with house money. I feel like all the pressure in this game is on Ohio State. Number one team in the country all season long. They lose the Big Ten title game. They have all this NFL talent. They have all these expectations. They finally beat Michigan again in the regular season. I don't know. I feel like the pressure here tonight is on Ohio State. And if Miami can create a couple of turnovers, maybe one early, big spot, and take care of the football themselves. Listen, I think 10.5 is really generous for Miami. I know it might be down to 9.5 now.
I'm still jumping on that, Josh. I'm still jumping on that 9.5. You can't be. I'm shocked that the Vegas made this game the highest, the biggest line out of the four games. I mean, you look at all the eight teams still left in the college football playoff. They all can win the championship.
Agreed.
I think those are eight of the best teams. They are the eight best teams in college football. So for Miami to be a 9.5, started out as a 10.5 point underdog, that's crazy.
I love that, though. I'm drooling at the mouth as I have the Hard Rock app open right now. I'm looking at that. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, I'm going to put together a little parlay for sure. Look, there's a lot to definitely watch, but I want everybody to pay attention to how insecure that sideline is. I mean, Ryan Day dyes his beard for sure. That is way too black. That is jet black. And I'm looking at Matt, formerly Fat Patricia. Now he's just Matthew Patricia because this guy is skinny and it's definitely Ozempic. Can't trust him. This just shows me that they're insecure. They're worried about all the wrong things. They're worried about their stupid little pretty little band that does their cute little formations at halftime. And I don't think they're focused on the right thing, man. They're focused on the Ohio State. Well, you know what? You should be focusing on the Reuben Bain Jr. breaking your quarterback in half. You should be focusing on the Malachi Toney. He's going to get a punt return for a touchdown here today. You heard
wow.
that. You heard that here. I'm calling that. That is going to be the play that separates us. It'll be a punt return touchdown for Malachi Toney. And if it happens, just know I'm putting this clip up, and we're going viral, boys. Going viral. We're going to continue to break down the Miami Hurricanes matchup today in depth. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to celebrate the day today. I'm going to go over all these celebrity birthdays we will be celebrating, and other than New Year's Eve, what other ridiculous national holiday has been predetermined for the 31st, and how will we celebrate it? We got that and much more when we come back on the Tobin and Leroy Show. Not too sure what this song is.
It's Dallas, the theme song. Aren't you doing Cotton Bowl trivia right now?
No, I was doing Day Today right now.
Oh, Jesus. You're terrible.
But I can rap over this.
No, you can't.
I can totally rap over this.
No, you can't.
Yo, this is Dallas. Right. Who shot?
All right.
Isn't that how it ended?
No.
No. That's not the show that ended with someone who got shot.
Yeah, but I don't want to hear you rap. I don't want to hear you mumble. Not on this beat. Okay,
fair.
Let's just get to the birthdays on New Year's Eve. Who's born on December 31st?
Day to day, we'll find out what celebrities are born on December 31st. This one has a pretty comprehensive list. I'm happy to share some of these names. I know you guys will know it. Let's start with Psy. Whoa, Gundam style.
Boom. Wow.
Boom.
That dude had a stranglehold on the world for a long time.
he had a stranglehold on the world, but right now in Korea, he is still goated.
Dude, I love seeing those videos of him popping up out of the stage at these festivals. It's insane. Good for him.
Is there someone else who is that, like, in America, who, like, has the stranglehold of the population and has only really had one song?
My first thought, I know it's kind of cheating because he's a Puerto Rican musician and not, you know, he's more popular there. I know.
Ricky Martin?
Don't jump down my throat. I know.
Cup of Life?
I was going to say Bad Bunny. That was the first thought.
Oh, no, he has many. He has many. Yeah.
But I didn't. You. That was before the caveat that you gave where it was just one song.
Just one song. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, he has a body of work that I'm like, okay, I get it. But Psy really just has that one song. And I don't know. Captivity over, I don't know. He's really good. Anyway, let's keep it going. Today, December 31st, Donald Trump Jr., also turning 48. God bless him. How about that?
What do you want us to do with that?
Nothing at all. But, you know, the birthday calendar don't discriminate.
Ex-birthday?
Gabby Douglas.
Oh, the Olympian.
The Olympian. How old do you think the Olympian is turning?
32?
30.
Okay.
Still young.
I'm only going by 4 years because I only see her every 4 years. So.
No, it's totally smart. Totally smart in that sense. I got this one right here. He wasn't the guy who put the lotion in the basket, but...
Was he the one that put the lotion in the ocean?
He ate the brain. How about that one? Anthony Hopkins.
Wow. Oh, the actor.
Yes, indeed. How old do you think Anthony Hopkins is turning?
Yes, Celeste.
Wow. 81.
84.
81. 88.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, he was great in Westworld. Older than you thought.
He was great in Westworld.
Was he?
Yeah.
Only one good season, and it was the first one.
I hear good things about it, and that was up until right now. You told me that it's not that good.
Well, first season's incredible. Everything else after that, I couldn't get through.
This gentleman passed away April 1st of this year, but I'm still going to count it. Val Kilmer.
Ah, Iceman.
Was he Iceman? I thought he was Batman.
No, he was Iceman.
Well, he also
in Top Gun. He was in Top Gun.
Oh, he was. Yeah. He played memorable roles in the films Heat, Top Gun, and he was also Batman.
He was.
He was Batman, and he was great.
He was
Heat.
In Heat. Yeah, that's a good movie. My dad.
He was the Batman era when Jim Carrey was the Riddler.
Riddler. Yeah. Was he the one with the neck that didn't move?
Who?
Huh? Like. The I know his neck moves, but I'm saying the bat suit where the neck was like attached to the shoulders, where he had like
looked all stiff the whole time, like he was
trapped in steel. Yeah, like literally, he was like, "Wow, I'm Batman. Just don't attack me from my peripherals." Let's keep it going. Do you guys know John Denver?
Denver,
of course.
Yeah,
Country Road,
take me home.
To a place. High. Yeah.
You ever been to Red Rocks?
I can rap over that beat.
Oh, and in Colorado?
Was that in,
Yeah.
No, I've always wanted to.
In Red Rocks, there's like a little museum that you can walk through, and there's a whole like wing dedicated to John Denver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look at
that. That's nice.
Performed there 16 times. I didn't Google it.
Oh. But you just a fact that you just know.
Just
off the top of your head. Not that you needed Google.
I didn't question that you had that fact until you told me,
right?
That you didn't Google it.
I didn't have to Google that they have a wing dedicated.
No,
my wife and I went there a couple of years ago and walked through it. But I did Google the amount of times that he played there.
Mm. Damn, 16 is a lot, bro.
I know.
That's a lot. Sometimes I feel like I've seen Minions at the Improv 16 times.
Underrated moment during the Stanley Cup final last year when the Panthers were up 5-1 or something like that, or 4-1 in the third period against the Oilers in one of the home games. The entire crowd was singing John Denver's most famous song, of course, Country Roads. Like they were singing that to the whole arena. Panthers scored on the power play in the middle of that. Iconic South Florida hockey moment.
Love that.
Neither of you two remember. So I got.
I remember us scoring, and I remember singing.
Let's keep it a buck there, Josh. That game six was a blowout. It was a blowy. Oh, yeah. It was like nobody, nobody cared about anything. We were celebrating. People were like setting up plans for after trying to get to the elbow room.
I was on my way to elbow
room. I think they scored like seven goals in the third period. I don't. As a matter of fact, I can remember the one time the crowd actually booed. They wanted the shutout, and somehow I think a goal got by.
Yeah, the last like few minutes of the game.
Like the last few minutes. That was the only time the crowd booed. It was, yeah. Nobody.
You know, we talked about the Panthers run yesterday, and we talked about, you know, the Marchand acquisition. We don't really mention how great that parade was. And all those elbow room moments, that has to be, well, the first time obviously was amazing going in the water. But once everybody knew this year, okay, that's the spot that we have to go, it was beautiful. It was a full day experience. I remember being there at night. I remember coming back before I had to do the show, going there after. And now we have even Mike McDaniel riding by the elbow room, trash talking people. Elbow room has solidified its spot. Other than that little... I know they do some Bills related stuff, which is why Mike McDaniel went by. You still got to shout out Elbow Room for having a staple in South Florida sports. What about Donna Summer?
Oh, where it's her birthday today?
Yeah, R.I.P.
Damn, some legends were born on.
Yeah, it's not the GOAT birthday like yesterday.
I mean, when you got Tiger and LeBron, yeah.
Now, this is a name that you guys won't recognize, but I still was like, nah, I need to share this story. His name is Mbah Gotho, right? 2017 is when he passed away. And when I saw the picture, I was like, this is a skeleton. Why do they have this picture on here? But the reason why I said that is because the man was born in 1870 and died in 2017. Which means, upon passing, he was 140 years old.
That just sounds miserable.
Man, I tell you what.
What are you doing at 140?
He's not a looker.
You think?
It says that he died at 146.
What kind of quality of life is that?
You know, his face looks very skeletal, but he is walking. And he is
with a cane,
blowing out a birthday cake.
Did he die after?
No,
I mean,
after blowing out the cake.
I'm just saying, anything that looks like takes a lot of effort might be, you know, curtain trim.
Well, he outlived all of his siblings, four of his wives and children. Look at that. But yeah, today would be his 150th birthday.
55th.
That is impressive. So shout out my boy Mbah Gotho.
Now, literally, if you're born on December 31st, that's really waiting a whole year for your birthday.
Yeah, that is. You're totally, and like
because you just know that the next day is the beginning of the new year. So it's like, okay, cool. I know the new year. I have one full. I mean, it's always a full year to your birthday. I know Josh is looking like I know, but it just feels like. Oh, my birthday is December 31st. The next day is the next year. That's all it feels like. I know everybody's birthday is one full year.
We all got to wait a full year for
our
birthday.
But
not me.
But if you look at it.
I got the fast pass.
The next day is the next year. That's perfect. Like, you know, your birthday is the last day of the year.
You can keep track of your age.
Yeah. I don't got to worry about no leap year.
All right, now let's, before we take a quick break, I just want you guys to know that not only is it New Year's Eve, it's also National Champagne Day.
What does that mean? That everybody's going to be popping champagne bottles and once midnight clubs?
After the Canes beat Ohio State.
Yeah. It's also No Interruptions Day, last work day of the year. No interruptions.
I'm working.
Yep. No, hey, no one better interrupt you.
You're working. They interrupted me.
Now, Make Up Your Mind Day. That's December 31st as well. It's time to make up your mind. You're going to start the new year. Time to make up your mind. And we won't be on air tomorrow, but it's also National Bloody Mary Day tomorrow, just in case you guys are interested.
So that's just National Get Over, you know, Continue Drinking From Last Night Day?
It means you're hungover and you need a Bloody Mary to fix you.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back in the second hour, we got some Cotton Bowl trivia, and we will dive into our vault as we remember the Spanish calls that got us to the college football playoff, according to me. We got a little pre-tape segment for y'all boys because, you know, we're going in the vault, man. We're celebrating all things Hurricanes today. So when we come back, that and much more on the Tobin and Leroy Show.